Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've seen it. If you really know your wife, if you really know your husband, there was one that said, how well do you know your husband? What's his handicap? So I sent it to my wife, and her answer was 4. Wow. That's what I said.
Jeremy White.
But here's the thing. I ended up with a win either way. She guessed I'm a 4. I am not a 4. But she said, I Googled what's a good golfer's handicap, which means she thinks I'm a good golfer. So I'll take that win.
And Joe DiBiase.
But now she knows that she's wrong.
Well, she doesn't have
from
the
right. From her Google search standard, you now have to tell her that I am actually indeed not a good golfer.
I'm not a 4.
She knew what the range of numbers is in the first place, like what it means. Like she would know a low number is better than a high number for this.
That's a good question. She just Googled what's a good golfer's handicap, and then
she said that's got to be the number.
4.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I feel like your wife will have more respect for your golf game being as good as you are with a member guest title.
Now I'm a champion.
Than if you were a 4 handicap without a member guest title.
That might be right. There is a trophy sitting on the mantle.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
Mantle, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mantle real estate?
I moved it. I moved it to the mantle.
Wow.
Yeah, what can I say? Only thing that has to happen here, they emblazon our names on the plaque on the wall.
Uh-huh.
It's a big step. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. I saw one of the viral highlights on Twitter yesterday. Is a guy that hit a 115-foot putt to win a member guest.
Wow.
So, yeah, anyway. Anyway, so much member guest talk.
115 feet. How many courses even have a 115-foot putt?
Well, I think he might have, Texas wedge off the green kind of scenario.
Oh, okay.
Either way, he putted. Yeah, he's off the green. He's all putting right from off the green. And he made it in front of all the members. Like, you know, those moments are pretty cool.
Yep.
All right, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Sal's off today. We're giving him a day off. He deserves, he's still on the Extra Point Show. But we're giving him the morning off, right? No training camp today.
Yeah.
It is the debut of Hard Knocks tonight.
Yes, it is. 9 o'clock, right?
Very exciting. We're going to get some good stuff.
Yep. Has it always been on a Tuesday?
I
thought I remembered it being like a Sunday night. But
I don't.
I'm just thinking of any HBO show that's appointment television usually being Sunday night and maybe Hard Knocks has not been that.
Yeah, the Sunday night list, that Game of Thrones was Sundays, Sopranos was Sundays.
I think Succession was Sundays.
Was Boardwalk Empire Sundays?
That sounds right.
It seems to be the go-to move. So tonight, Hard Knocks gets started. Tomorrow, the Hard Knocks post-game show. We might have some stuff to talk about as a result, which will be pretty cool.
Yeah, but I don't know the exact, how many days back do we think tonight's going to end at? A week?
It's a good question.
Like the first 2 weeks of training camp?
I bet, if you want to talk about just on James Cook's front, I bet it is addressed that the star running back is seeking a contract extension, but he is here at camp, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then maybe the next episode, it's, no, he's not.
No, you know what it's going to be? It's going, I wonder, if I were doing that show, what would I do? I would, because if you do it at the beginning, hey, James Cook is here, training, you make that a storyline, him being there, everyone watching is going to know, this is outdated. We all know this didn't hold up. He's not here now, but in the show, I bet they save that part of it till the end, him showing up day one of camp, and then that's how it ends, and then there's the teaser for next week, which is coming up next week on Hard Knocks, and it's Cook not being there.
That might be right.
That's what you're going to get.
And our conversation with lead director, if I have the title right, Pat Harris, he basically said they film it all, and then they send it all back, and it's put together there. So, he's right in charge of filming and all that, and we'll see. How quickly can they turn something around and say, oh, no, this has to go on the end. Here's the last 5 minutes. It's going to be right here.
Right.
So that'll be good. That'll be good. It's tonight, Hard Knocks on HBO, 9 o'clock this evening. There's a premiere party and everything. Good times. Carrington Harrison joins us at 9. He talks Chiefs, so we'll check in with the Kansas City Chiefs and their offseason, how that's going. So Carrington Harrison joins us at 9. And between now and then, we are wide open for you to call in and shout about James Cook if you want to shout about James Cook or, chat about it with us. Either way. Because, I guess it's worth watching. No practice today.
Nope.
So we won't necessarily get day 3 of the situation.
Nope.
But
Day assume he won't play. Right? He won't play in the preseason game, I'd assume.
I would assume that too. Wednesday and then Thursday of camp, and then back to Buffalo for the preseason, and off we go to the regular season as the Bills pursue the Super Bowl again. It's one of the things about this situation. Am I alone in thinking that? I tried to start to lay this out yesterday, and I'll try again here. Am I the only one that thinks all of the macro team building, how to build your franchise is good and great, and I support all that, the idea about what where you should draft. But when you get to where the Bills are, you have to start breaking some rules to try to win it. That's where, you know, a team that's drafting third overall, don't take a receiver. You need a quarterback. Oh, right, right. That's right. You need a quarterback. Or don't take a guard. You need this. Or I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the things we talk about to build a franchise and what's important. It's quarterback and tackle. Remember Doug Whaley's five positions? Quarterback, left tackle, defensive end, wide receiver, and cornerback. Like, he had his five positions. These are the most important. And where the Bills are now, it's just a little different. It's, yeah, you know what? Maybe you should try to sign Odell Beckham Jr., even though we might not think it's the best idea. Let's talk about it. Anything to get over the finish line, and the Rams are a story for that, right? They traded for Von Miller. They traded for Beckham. They made the swing of getting rid of Goff for Stafford because that. How many other teams would ever trade their quarterback? It's only when you get to that purgatory of we are here, and it's time to break a couple rules to do what it takes to get over the line. And it's not always going to work. You know, the Rams might be lucky to have done that. And I kind of end up feeling like that with Cook because anytime anybody's going to say, guys, if James Cook's not on the team and it's Ray Davis carrying the ball, I think they're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Find me a thing on the team that that's not true of other than Josh Allen getting hurt. You and I kind of did this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
How many games they win if Dawkins is out for the year? Would you say like 13?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's unimportant. How many games would they win if they gave up 29 points per game on defense? How many games would they win? 13?
Yeah.
12?
At least 10.
You'd hope.
At least 10.
That doesn't mean giving up 29 points per game is something you want to do. It's just we are very much in this life where we are expecting double-digit wins, and we're only evaluating them on the playoffs. And that kind of gets to, it almost feels like to me, Joe, I'm bringing my wide receiver point that we talked about with Brandon Bean two interviews ago, which is, he says, you know, the receivers aren't the reason we lost. And that's not wrong. 29 points they scored. But I'm thinking about, but on 4th and 5, or 3rd and 10, or the previous drive, or 6 different 4th and 1 sneaks, I'm thinking, I know your team is great, but I'm really into 7 plays of an elimination game. And who's out there, and what's happening, and what am I doing? And for that, I'm on Cook where, man, you got a lot of people pretty confident that Ray Davis is the guy that's just going to be good enough in the most important spot when I just watched James Cook make game-changing plays for them in that game. And that's got me a little nervous. I'm not here telling you they won't be good without Cook, but I need every single edge available to me. And if there's a way to get it over the line with Cook, I've said the whole time, like, I do want him back. I do want him on this team because, you know, these are the margins. And I'm not even disputing they would win the division.
Right.
The offense would be fine because they tend to be fine with a lot of things.
The difference, though, for me would be that this is kind of part of the replaceability of running back, part of it, that I think that is definitely true. Like, the line on them for a game or for the division or the Super Bowl does not move with any injury that isn't Josh Allen. Right. Dawkins.
Shakir's high ankle sprain. Like, they'll be fine.
Nothing. But you have these positional groups that if you build injuries on top of one another, that can sink you.
Yes.
If I have two important offensive linemen that are injured. Like, okay, three. Now I start to see lines move. Now I start to see a shift. This is what happened to Kansas City in a Super Bowl, right? Like, they had not just one injury, they had multiple injuries
compounding
at the same group that compounded together, and they lost a Super Bowl because of it. Not just lost, they were uncompetitive in a Super Bowl because they just couldn't block Tampa Bay. And that's happened to the Bills, right? On defense.
Linebacker.
It's not just, if just Terrell Bernard or just Matt Milano had been out, then maybe you would have been fine to go up against Kansas City 2 years ago. But I had both of them out and Baylen Specter out and Tyrell Dodson out. Like, you just had all of these guys built on top of one another. And I just don't know that that would ever happen at running back. Because running back is the position more than ever, more than any, which is, if I run out of guys, I go call Gus Edwards off the street, and I still feel like I'm not as good, but I'm not in critical shape here. My offensive line, if Dawkins goes down, and then Brown goes down, and then McGovern goes down,
You're in trouble.
I'm pulling people off the street to play offensive line, I'm in big trouble. And I don't feel that way about running back.
Then how come two of the best teams and two of the biggest competitors, the Eagles and the Ravens, have decided that position is super important?
Because they got
the best guys.
They have. It is worth pointing out that those teams were also unbelievable with completely replacement-level running backs before
that. I agree. Miles Sanders put up really good numbers with the Eagles. They went to a Super Bowl with him. Right?
They did, and the Ravens with Gus Edwards. Dobbins was never healthy, so you can't even count him.
The Gus bus.
The Chiefs with Pacheco. Who's Pacheco?
He's
okay, but he's not as good as James Cook.
No, he's not, and he's kind of faded away, right? They drafted another guy here, Breshard Smith.
He had a down year because of he had an injury Injuries. Early last year. Actually, didn't he break his leg?
I think so.
Yeah. And then he came back from that.
He did it just running because he runs so angry that he broke his leg throwing it into the ground.
Yeah, but he's a guy.
He's a guy. Right. That's right. And I mean, the Chiefs did draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Right. They tried to go big
for right or wrong. I mean, they didn't exactly get that right. He was not very good, but they thought this is of value here.
And they won the Super Bowl with him.
I know.
And he wasn't that good.
But he wasn't that good.
And I know, like, you're right. Like, there are these other teams now that have done it, and they have gone in on it, and the Chiefs won the Super Bowl with Edwards-Helaire when the league wasn't running as much, right? And right now they are. But
it kind of, picking up on what you said,
yeah.
If the Bills lost all their linebackers and played street free agents like they did against the Chiefs, how many games would they win? 13? You might think 13. You might think 12. The point is, I'm getting at it with Cook, I don't really have an argument against the 17-game conversation. If I'm Bean, or the GM of this team, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not gonna ruin the franchise here. And he talks a lot about, you know, the cap for 26 and the cap for 27, which I think that's talk for the players to try and get them to accept less. No, we don't want to hamstring ourselves, right? Reality is they won't be hamstrung. They'll be fine. The cap is not prohibitive for this team, and it keeps going up, and the Eagles keep using void years and showing one way to do it, and the Bills have started to add some void years now. So, like, they're dabbling in that market where they're pushing more money in the future because taking a loan in the future is actually cheaper. Mm-hmm. I know, like, we always talk about it like it's a credit card bill you have to pay, but you are always paying it when you have more money. Imagine throwing some debt into next year, and you're like, yeah, but next year I'm actually getting a monstrous raise. Like, okay, great.
Right.
Sounds great.
Right. You know you're getting a raise every single year.
Yes.
Like a good, like a huge
like
one.
Like a 20% raise every year. Like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this $2 million dead cap figure? Like, you got more money to spend. And then again, everybody does. But, you know, Cook, I don't know where this ends. I don't know where this goes. I don't know if he kind of limps back to the Bills. It's such an interesting offseason for a lot of these players, for Terry McLaurin, for Micah Parsons, who is making this bold statement and stand against the Cowboys, but still reporting to practice and talking to teammates and talking to coaches, I guess because he has to, he doesn't want to get fined.
Yep.
I don't know what to do with Cook. I the Bills have said, and Brandon Bean said, they do want him here, that they have tried to get him signed.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's being unreasonable about it, I guess it just is what it is. But I don't think it's just as easy as, well, the next guy up. Ray Davis had a good game. Like, okay, great. A lot of guys have had a good game. Saquon Barkley. Jordan Mason had a couple good games with the Niners. Mm-hmm. And if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, they don't just, you know, kick McCaffrey to the curb. They think he's an unbelievable asset. And when healthy, he is. So, Ray Davis, I've got plenty of respect for Ray Davis. I've got plenty of respect for Ty Johnson. I don't think we should be looking at it as it's, oh, well, it's James Cook to Ray Davis. Really what it is it's James Cook to Darrington Evans. You're cycling everybody down one spot, and you as a team that uses your backs a lot, right? Mm-hmm. A lot. How many catches for running backs in this offense compared to other teams?
Oh, last year? Oh, weren't they the most?
Number one.
They were number one by percentage?
Maybe. We'll double check.
They were close to that.
They throw to their backs a lot. So if all of a sudden you take away the guy that's at the top of that pecking order, am I throwing it to Darrington Evans as much? I don't think so. Darrington Evans has been with the Bills a couple times, several times. He's been around the league, and he's not really caught on anywhere. And all of a sudden, he's going to be one of the three backs that is part of the number one running back-based passing game in the league. The Bills get away with what they do at receiver, in part because they treat their backs and tight ends, of course, as weapons and pass catchers. I mean, Evans has been with, like, his Wikipedia reads kind of funny. Titans, Bears, Colts, Bills, Dolphins, Bills, Bears, Bills.
And the Bears, they just keep, they the Bills. Keep going
he's
back.
Had, he's
and
had
the Bills.
Three stints with the Bears and three stints with the Bills.
They just keep going back and forth.
He's just a guy that's catching on and finding his way in this league, and that's the guy that is now up one. All right, I'm not throwing the ball to him. I don't know if I'm throwing it to Ray Davis on the same level I am as with James Cook, who is much more elusive. Like, Ray Davis has downhill speed. Cook is elusive. If Davis gets those little dump-off passes that Cook gets, it's not the same. Ty Johnson, same, right? Really great straight-line speed. Cook is your guy that makes guys miss and has rush yards over expected, which the other guys do not really do on the same level. So I don't know what to do with it. I don't agree with they'll just be fine, because in the game they are going to need every single piece.
Yeah.
I got to have my best pieces.
But yet he's not going to be out there at the end?
Well, that's a criticism of them. He could be out there at the end.
It is, but they don't trust him because he has this hole in his game.
He could be out there. Well, I mean, lots of players have holes in their game.
That's right.
He could be out there in a two-back set at the end of the game, and they could throw it to him because they don't trust throwing it to Keon Coleman, not on the field at the end of the AFC Championship game. Does that mean he's a bust and worthless? He wasn't out there.
Right.
They throw to Amari Cooper, who's not on a team right now. I actually fell for a fake Adam Schefter report that Cooper had retired. I thought, I guess it's possible.
that made sense.
Yeah. There was a fake Adam Schefter tweet. I'm like, oh, there it is. I guess he retired. So,
why is he not out there? Because they're worried. They envision, you know, that's the final drive, and the season comes to an end on him getting destroyed by some linebacker, and then Allen getting sacked.
Half the reason,
Allen never gets sacked anyway.
The other reason he's not out there is because they're going to keep their back end to block, because the Chiefs are going to send a lot of pressure, and the Bills know no one can get open down the field, and the pass is going to be short to Shakir or Kincaid or Cooper. Like, what's he out there for? They could have put him out there to go somewhere in a pattern or do something. I mean, I don't want to get too deep in on that. Like, he's not on the field.
But you have another running back who running routes like that is as good as him.
And how did he do on that play? Was he targeted?
Johnson, he wasn't. On the last play?
Right. On fourth and five, there are a lot of guys out there. The play call is to throw it to Shakir behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
So it's not like they're this perfect offense that decides, like, this is now our fatal flaw on late game situations. They are. I mean, they are a rotational team. They are in love with their rotations. And if you're going to be a team that is in love with your rotations, can I sit here and cherry pick and say, how come that guy's not out there? You love your rotations.
Yeah.
Von Miller rotated in endlessly, right? Rousseau, he actually played a lot more snaps last year. But Rousseau is going to rotate out sometimes. They do it on the defensive line. They do it at receiver. I'm not saying he's the perfect back.
Right.
If he wants to be paid like the perfect back, that's probably not going to happen.
But what I'm saying is, part of the discussion about what, you know, those biggest moments and in those biggest games, like, I might agree that I could just say the pass blocking be damned. He's your most dangerous back. He should be out there. But in reality, it feels like they wouldn't have him out there. So the discussion of they'll be fine, like, I already am going to probably face those biggest moments without him out there already. I already kind of don't have him. because the team doesn't put him out there.
Conversely, some of these games you played in, there weren't big moments late because he ripped off a 65-yard touchdown run and killed it for you. And in that game, the only reason you're in the big play at the final drive is because he got in the end zone on 4th-and-1 for you.
Right.
So, you know, like...
It's a great play.
It's an unbelievable play.
It's a statuesque play.
It's an unbelievable play. He makes that play, and we're sitting here saying, like, well, he wasn't out on the next drive. True.
Yeah.
You know, like, you were not in that drive if he's not there. It's... I mean, it's not that complicated, but it is... Interesting. We've got some clips to play a little bit later. Listening to Jerry Ostrowski, I talked to him yesterday as part of the Bill Squad show that I do with him and Joe Marino, and he said flat out that if James Cook's not on the team, the Bills' offensive line has to change the way that it blocks.
Because of Davis?
Because
of the differences between...
What they run when Cook is on the field, Ray Davis would not really succeed with on the same level. So now I'm taking my rushing attack. Think about how much... If you love what the Bills did on offense last year, running the ball, protecting the football, everybody eats, and they want to run it back. Mm-hmm. If they run it back minus James Cook, they run it back without that blocking scheme, kind of, because that blocking scheme suits Cook, and it doesn't suit Davis. They would have to change their offense. Their continuity of what they do on offense is kind of disrupted by that. And, you know, Cook is at the center of all this, but... It's a bigger change than just next man up. It then becomes, all right, well, we're not running this same, you know, wide zone that we run for Cook because Ray Davis, he's not the patient guy that waits and picks a spot. He's going to run into the back of an offensive lineman, and it'll be 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Maybe. I shouldn't just guarantee that on Davis. I'm kind of paraphrasing what Jerry had to say. And Joe Marino agreed. They would have to change their blocking scheme.
Mm-hmm.
If they change their starting running back. So I don't think it's as easy.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, a lot of what Brandon Bean had to say was worth noting and worth taking down. He did talk about how Cook gives them the opportunity to do more. He's back there, and defenses have to think about more potential outcomes than with the other guys.
By the way, one correction. I always forget this. One correction. Cook is out there on the final drive. He plays... I mean, he's on the two downs right before 3rd-and-10 and 4th-and-whatever. He's not on the field. So he's not on the field for the screen to Amari Cooper, and he's not on the field for the Kincaid play at the very end. And he's not out there for the first play. Ty Johnson gets a rushing attempt on the first play. That's kind of why it feels like
Ty Johnson.
He's not out there because Ty Johnson begun the drive and then ended it.
And how'd that play go?
And he lost 1 yard.
Not a great idea.
So then they had three plays. 2nd-and-11, Allen gets the first down scrambling. Cook's out there for that. Allen goes to Shakir, Cook's out there for that, and then Cook is out there for 2nd-and-10. And on the 2nd-and-10, one of the Chiefs linebackers blitzes, and Cook whiffs on him. I don't think the play would have been any different. He throws it to Samuel, it's incomplete. So I don't think it made any effect on the play.
That's a throw.
What did the Bills maybe do there?
Is that the throw to Samuel where it's a little bit low, and if Allen gets more times, Samuel is running free for a long time?
Yeah, okay, I guess I could see that. I mean, it gets batted. That's why I guess I thought maybe that the play wouldn't be different. But yeah, if Samuel gets it outside, he probably turns upfield and gets the first. I don't know if the pass gets there regardless. But either way, Cook kind of misses on the block, and maybe he was going to play that whole final drive.
Mm-hmm.
And did McDermott or the Bills running backs coach or whoever watch him miss that block and say, get him off the field?
Maybe.
They maybe were going to have him out there.
Does that
maybe it wasn't a. All I'm saying is it wasn't a pre-planned thing that he's not playing the final drive because we trust Ty Johnson more.
And was that the right call?
Maybe to take him off.
Maybe
I don't think Ty Johnson does and makes any impact in either of the next two plays. So it probably turns out the same way
and ends up being a screen and an orbit motion.
Yeah,
like, you know,
Johnson goes to block on the screen, but there's no. By the time he gets the block, the pass is already gone because it's a screen. And then Kincaid, he's running a route at receiver.
It's funny, we've gone from me saying, like, the zoom out point is one thing. I zoomed in on a game, and now we're zooming in on, like, three plays. But I don't think that's wrong to do. I think that's kind of how it should be. Because when you're three or four plays away, you're trying to find the answer on three or four plays.
I'm watching it from the back. Cook misses the block, and sure, Allen might have had an extra second if he picks it up. But this is just the guy McGovern's blocking jumps up and blocks it. That's it. That's going to be a completion to if this defensive tackle 5 yards away doesn't jump up and hit the ball, Samuel's going to catch the ball and get the first down.
Okay.
So I don't think Cook cost them on that play, but it did get him maybe taken off the field.
803-0550. Dan, if you can hang on, we'll get to your call. Have some time for you on the other side. Anybody else want to chat about this? I think it's juicy. There's good stuff on Cook. We'll talk about it with you. I'm also ready to entertain the Micah Parsons conversation and put all of you through a let's get stupid thought experiment that might change your mind on on the way certain things are framed. So we've got that coming for you as well. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Tuesday. It's cool outside. You can tell, like, summer is turning. It's not thick, hot in the morning.
Yeah.
Nice and breezy at 5 a.m. as opposed to, like, soupy. But it's going to be, like, in the 80s today, so that's cool. You give us a ring, 803-0550. We'll talk to you next here on WGR.